This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Choco Perfection, the only sugar-free chocolate sweetened from chicory root fiber. It doesn't raise blood sugar levels, and it supports the growth of beneficial probiotic flora. Choco Perfection supports weight loss as part of a low-carb eating program. Plus, it has all the beneficial antioxidants of chocolate. And it tastes great, like a really good chocolate bar. Just in time for Valentine's Day, you can get free 3-day shipping. To order, go to ChocoPerfection.com. That's ChocoPerfection.com or call 800-332-1773. That's 800-332-1773 for Choco Perfection. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and the big story last week and continuing this week, New York State Attorney General has undertaken a sting operation of sorts. It's actually a cease and desist order after a study commissioned by Attorney General Eric Schneiderman revealed, so he says, that a wide variety of herbal supplements available from four major retailers didn't meet their specifications. They had virtually none of the active ingredient. And as a result, he took the extraordinary measure to ask them to stop selling these things, even more forcefully issued a cease and desist order. And we spoke last week to Mark Blumenthal, who's head of the American Botanical Council, because we have some real concerns about this. Number one, this is being used as a pretext for attacking the entire supplement industry. And we could argue the merits of the test, which we will in just a moment. If a few specific instances occur where supplements are inadequate or adulterated, it does not necessarily mean that the entire supplement industry is rife with fraud or abuse. And today we're going to talk to an expert. He is Steve Mister. He is the president and CEO of something called the Council for Responsible Nutrition, or CRN. And we'll find out in just a moment what CRN's mission statement is. Steve, it's a pleasure, but I wish we could meet under more auspicious circumstances, because this has really created a stink in the public's mind vis-a-vis supplements.
Well, thanks for having me, and yes, I wish we were talking under better circumstances as well.
Well, we've talked in the past. We've talked about supplement regulation. We've talked about supplement quality and the measures that are undertaken by the supplement industry, which you were instrumental in, to safeguard our supplements and make sure that they're potent. So give us a little background. First of all, tell us where you're coming from. The Council for Responsible Nutrition, what does it do? What's it about?
Well, the Council for Responsible Nutrition is an industry trade association. We represent both the manufacturers and marketers of finished dietary supplements and then also the ingredient suppliers.
Okay. So now what percentage of manufacturers sign on to CRN? Is it just the tip of the iceberg, or is there a broad coalition of supplement manufacturers who are part and parcel of CRN?
We have over 100 voting members of CRN, and we really represent a cross-section of the industry. Some of the biggest companies in the industry are members of CRN, as well as a number of much smaller companies. So I really like to think that we do represent the entire industry.
Okay, so summarize for us. I mean, obviously you've been having a busy week because you've been talking to the press, and you've issued some press releases. You've taken a pretty affirmative stand about the lack of fairness and veracity of this action by the Attorney General. If I might quote you, your statement is as follows, quote, this is last week you issued this press release, "These actions today by the New York State Attorney General's office smack of a self-serving publicity stunt under the guise of protecting public health. Supposed concerns about the products in question are based on a novel testing method that has been roundly criticized by botanical scientists who questioned whether DNA barcoding technology is an appropriate or validated test for determining the presence of herbal ingredients in finished botanical products. So, Steve, tell us what you really think. I know you're holding back there, making a sort of a subdued, no, obviously, a very pointed rebuttal to the New York State AG. So frame the issue for us. For some of our listeners, maybe they're not acquainted with the action by the New York State Attorney General. So give us the background.
Sure. Well, we are quite concerned that the Attorney General in New York would launch this operation against four retailers in the industry, and basically conduct these DNA barcode tests on finished products, because you know, the reality is that barcode testing is simply the wrong test to use on finished dietary supplements. So, you know, if you think about herbs, that if you were pulling the plant right out of the ground, of course you would expect it to have the DNA of whatever that particular plant is, would be in the leaves and the roots and the stems, because you've got the whole cell there, and so the DNA is all still there.
That's like old-fashioned supplements used to be. You know, when I just got started in this industry 30-some years ago, the things we had, they would just mash some, you know, ginkgo biloba, for example. They just mash it and put it like almost like ginkgo biloba tea, but they'd stick it in a capsule, and then you'd have, like, ground-up leaves. And that was the state of the art.
And you'll still find products like that in the marketplace. If you go and you look at the label of certain herbal supplements, some of them will say that they are whole herb, and that's exactly what that means, is that they have picked the plant, dried it, and then ground it up and put it into a capsule, and you're actually still getting the cells of the plant, and you would expect to find the DNA of the plant in those kinds of products. But the problem is that the vast majority of the products that the Attorney General in New York tested were extracts. They were not whole herb products. And so what that means is that those plants were picked and then processed in order to extract the phytochemicals that were in the plant out of the plant. Sometimes that means subjecting them to heat and various kinds of processing. It may mean that they're subjected to supercritical CO2, which is a very high pressure process of pushing CO2 through the plant to pull out those phytochemicals. And sometimes it can be various solvents that the plants are soaked in. But the point of all of those extraction processes is to pull the phytochemicals out of the plant and leave the rest behind. And so what happens is, by the time you get a pure extract, whatever DNA was in the plant can either be damaged, or it can be destroyed entirely, or it's left behind and it's still in the parts of the plant that you're not using. So what you're getting in the extract are these phytochemicals, the things that really have the health benefits, but no DNA. So it wouldn't be surprising then, if you tested those products for DNA, that you don't find DNA.
Yeah, I gave the analogy, and I think it might be accurate. You tell me what you think about fish oil. Highly purified, molecularly distilled fish oil doesn't smell fishy and is very clear in its appearance. And if you subjected it to a DNA analysis, there would be no vestige of the fish from which it's derived, the salmon or the cod or whatever, the calamari, the squid from which it's derived, or algae in some cases. So you if the Attorney General did that test on fish oil, he would conclude erroneously that there's no active ingredient, that there's no fish oil in the fish oil capsule. But of course that would be absurd.
Well, and I think you're onto something there, because that's the problem. It looks as if the Attorney General tested about 24 products across the four retailers that it chose to identify.
And we can name names here. This is Walmart, Walgreens, GNC, and one other. What was it? I think it was there were four of them, right?
Target is the fourth.
Target. Yes, indeed. Okay.
And so, you know, what happens is a few of those products were not on the recall list. Interestingly enough, those products are all the ones that say whole herb on the product. Because,
okay.
Again, you would expect to find DNA in those products. But the extracts don't test positive for the DNA of the plant. And again, the important thing to remember is that, you know, that what it is that we're trying to put into these capsules are the phytochemicals, not the whole cell of those plants. So that's where we find ourselves today. We've got an attorney general in New York who says these products don't have what they're supposed to have, and industry, along with a lot of academicians and experts in the botanical field, are scratching their head and saying, you used the wrong test.
Well, okay, you know, the whole way that this went down smacks of, you know, as you have used the word, a self-serving publicity stunt, or in fact, we could use the word grandstanding, because let's say the attorney general was concerned about the quality of supplements, and let's say he was going to use this methodology. But would it not make sense to bring in experts like you, Mark Blumenthal, other scientists, botanists, pharmacognosists in the field, and say, hey, guys, this is what we're going to do. Do you have any input on this process? Because I don't want, you know, as Attorney General of the state of New York, I don't want egg on my face. I want to make accurate statements. We're going to do this review of supplements and products. And I don't think he's done this. I don't think he's actually shared the physical results of the tests with organizations like you. I don't think you've actually seen the evidence. It's almost like a star chamber kind of court where, you know, the indictment has been sent out without the particulars.
You know, that you're absolutely right. In fact, that's why we've launched a Twitter campaign, hashtag release the report, because we have not been able to see any of the results. We've not been able to see the test methodology. We know very little about what was actually done on the test other than what we have read in the New York Times. And we think it's
which, by the way, you had faithfully parroted the line, the party line that supplements are worthless. I mean, without doing a lot of investigative reporting.
Well, and you know, I guess we'll come back to how we deal with the media in this case, because as you've already said, it has become a springboard to talk about other issues that they don't like about the industry. But you know, on this issue with the testing, the New York Attorney General's office apparently, you know, did bring in someone who was an expert in DNA, but unfortunately, the professor that he uses is an expert in animal DNA, and his specialty is looking at the DNA of live lizards and snakes and comparing that with dinosaurs. And so it's hardly somebody who is an expert on finished botanical products and someone who really understands the limitations of DNA testing on products that have been subject to all kinds of processing. And so that's very different than taking live DNA out of a live animal and looking at it and looking at something that's been highly refined and extracted.
Maybe this is the guy, maybe this is the Jurassic Park guy, the guy who took, you know, took the DNA from the, you know, the piece of fossilized remains and created that amusement park. You know, it sounds like that's the kind of thing that he likes doing.
Well, you know, it is frustrating because, you know, of course, the DNA field is a varied and vast one, and so just because someone is an expert in one aspect of DNA does not mean they understand the application of this to other fields.
But the public, from the public standpoint, DNA is it. It's the end-all and be-all of evidence because everybody watches CSI, and you know, when you get the DNA, you nail the suspect, you know, and you, that's it.
And that's, you know, that's one of the dangers of all of the TV shows that we have out there, is that people watch the crime shows and they hear DNA and they think that that's the definitive answer to everything. In a case like this, where the extract has no DNA, it's not going to be much use. Interesting thing is that about a year before this, there were some researchers up in Canada who did a study and found very similarly disappointing results, mm-hmm. published those, and Mark Blumenthal's organization, the American Botanicals Council, did a critique of the study and called for that study to be withdrawn and revised and have the journal take it down for a number of reasons, but it's all of the same reasons that we're mm-hmm. now pointing to this study. And it does leave us scratching our head. If the Attorney General had done his homework and had looked at the critiques of that study from 2013, he would have seen all of the same kinds of arguments and concerns that are being raised now.
Well, okay, so if one were to try to ascertain whether a supplement is potent, delivers what the label says. What is there testing methodology that's available that would reveal that? And what testing methodology should have been used in this case?
Yeah,
and what?
Go ahead. Ron, not only is it available, but it's required. And
okay.
That's the really interesting thing, is that, you know, all of the dietary supplements in the U.S. marketplace are subject to federal regulations that we call good manufacturing practices. They were issued in 2007, and they have been fully in place now since 2010. And they require that the manufacturers conduct at least one appropriate test of all of their incoming materials when they come in before they're ever released to be used in manufacturing, to be sure that the identity and purity and composition of those ingredients is what they say it is. And then they're required to test their finished products for the same thing, to make sure that whatever they put on their labels is what's in the bottle. So there are a number of tests out there, and they are used by the industry. And when the FDA comes into a plant for its routine inspections, it inspects against those tests to make sure that at least one of them is being used, but they all involve chemical analysis, and that's the real difference. They're not looking at DNA. They're looking at the chemical analysis of the product to see if all of those phytochemicals are there. So, you know, there are big words like mass spectrometry and liquid chromatography, but what those really mean is that those are chemical tests that companies use using very expensive equipment to be sure that the chemicals that are supposed to be in the product are there at the right quantities so that they know they have the ingredient that they say they have.
And by the way, I know several supplement manufacturers, and they often tell me that they tell me what it's like being a supplement manufacturer. You are subject to routine scheduled and sometimes unscheduled appearances by folks from the FDA saying, let's look at your spec sheets. We want to make sure that the factory is clean. We want to make sure there's no toxins. We want to look at your documentation. Where's your testing? Did you test this batch before and after? And they have to produce this.
That's right. And one of the things that those inspectors will do when they knock on the door, and as you say, sometimes it's even unannounced, one of the things that they will do is they will ask to see your identity testing records. What have you been doing for each of the lots of material that's come into your facility? What have you been doing to assure that this product that's labeled ginkgo or ginseng or echinacea is what the label says it is? So these kind of chemical tests are things that the company has to produce to FDA, and they sign off on it. What's interesting is that FDA does not allow companies to rely solely on DNA testing. You can do DNA testing in combination with other kinds of analytical work, but even the FDA has not allowed companies to use DNA solely because they appreciate the limitations on that kind of a test.
Well, here's an issue that this brings up is that, frankly, the brands that were tested were house brands in stores that they're frequently associated with discount retailing. You know, the Target, Walmart, GNC, and the other, the two W's.
Walgreens.
Yeah, Walgreens. You know, so, and this is actually, you know, something that I'm concerned about is, you know, there are different levels of potency and quality among supplements. So there's two ways to look at this. You know, on the one hand, we can say, look, the whole testing methodology is suspect, and we can completely exonerate these companies from making products that are subpar. Alternatively, some people are taking the position that, well, you know, there are some bad players in the supplement industry. They cut corners, and you get what you pay for. You know, if you buy a bottle of Ginkgo biloba for $9.99 for $300 versus a company that makes a more, shall we say, standardized or high quality version of it, and it's $29.99. It's not that you know, the one company just taking the $20 and put it in their pocket because it's you know, it's all the same cheap ingredients. They may actually be standardizing and exercising quality control to a higher degree. So,
and you know, Ron, I've heard some of those same arguments, and I think I would caution people against going there at this point because
okay.
You know, I mean, we can talk about the variations on the bioavailability of one form of an herb versus another, even, you know, whole herb products versus extract, and which is better. But I think this is a point at which the entire industry needs to come together. And because, I mean, the allegations here are very serious, that someone is putting out a product that doesn't have any of the active material in it. The companies that are involved here are very reputable, and the retailers involved are very reputable. They would not allow products to be on their shelf if they hadn't done their own homework to be sure that these were products that contain what they say they contain. So, I think we can talk about premium brands and things like that at another time, but this is something that the whole industry needs to come behind. These are reputable companies, and again, I think the chemical analysis as opposed to the DNA analysis will exonerate them.
Right, and is that something that's being undertaken? Because clearly the countermeasure to the Attorney General is to take some of these self-same supplements from the same batches and subject them to a more rigorous analysis using some of the techniques that you talked about. Is that underway, and will a report be forthcoming?
Well, the companies involved are handling this in several respects. First of all, they're going back and pulling all of their old test records for those specific lots, so that they can demonstrate that they actually did the test that they were required to do when the product was being made in their facility. But a number of these companies are also now taking their retained samples, and all manufacturers are required to hold on to retained samples of their materials, and sending them out now to various third parties for independent testing to, again, demonstrate that they have the phytochemicals that they're supposed to have. So I think, the companies need a couple of weeks to be able to do this. You can't do this overnight. But I think, what you'll start to see is the companies releasing their results, both the retailers and the manufacturers themselves, releasing their results from these third-party tests that demonstrate that they do have, in fact, the ingredients they're supposed to have.
And we look very much forward to that, and I'm sure that...
Yes, it can't happen soon enough.
Right, that information will be forthcoming from you and from others in the industry. So, okay, this is a good inflection point at which to pause, because, no question that as a result of this, I think the supplement industry is under attack. And they call me a conspiracy theorist, but just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean that they're not out to get us. I think that there's a concerted effort by government officials, certain government officials like Eric Schneiderman, legislators who, want to erstwhile do good, in Congress, and local legislators who keep coming up with legislation that proposes tighter and tighter regulation of the supplement industry. They claim there are no regulations. And a very pliant press, which basically receives these press releases and uncritically publishes them. And, the lurid story is, all you folks out there are taking supplements, you're getting gypped, you're being duped. When we return, we'll talk a little bit about the way that the supplement industry can and will respond to this new challenge. Our guest is Steve Mister. He's president and CEO of CRN. It's the Council for Responsible Nutrition. They are responsible for getting the word out about the science behind the supplements, and they got a big job to do in the wake of this New York State Attorney General's report and action. CRNUSA.org is their website, and we'll be back in just a moment with part two of today's podcast with Steve Mister. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And this is Intelligent Medicine.